Total Tuscany Podcast, number 17. Ciao and welcome to another edition of the ever-popular Total Tuscany Podcast. I'm your co-host, Travis Justice, joined by my traveling partner and lover of all things Tuscany, Mr. Pat Capagna. Hello, Pat.
Travis, how are you today?
Very good. If you are just listening to this podcast for the very first time, welcome. We talk all things Tuscany on a weekly basis. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. You can also find us on Stitcher. And if you want to follow us on a regular basis, just go to our website, TotalTuscany.com, where you can also find us on Twitter, at Total Tuscany, and on Facebook, at Total Tuscany. We have so many different platforms, Pat. It's amazing how we reach out to people who are interested in Tuscany, whether it be the website, whether it be Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and this podcast. And this podcast is growing by leaps and bounds. Each and every week, we get more and more listeners. And it's just, it's so satisfying to me when people contact us on the website or they sign up for our email newsletters on the website that they feel comfortable now writing us, asking us advice to, because they're getting ready to plan that trip and they're ready to make that plunge and invest in what is a trip they'll never forget. And that is to Tuscany.
Absolutely. It's kind of interesting to get all this feedback, isn't it? And how many people are actually interested in the same experiences that we've had?
Well, when we started this podcast, we were like, how many people really share our passion towards Tuscany in particular? And we're finding out every single day that more and more people have this burning desire to connect with Tuscany, to visit Tuscany, or at least to hear about Tuscany. Now, there are so many different places to go and so many different places to see in Tuscany, but one of the things that really makes it unique is the countryside and the hill towns that are just spectacular and filled with so much rich history and tradition.
It's unlike anything else that you could experience, and you have to make that part of your trip.
One of the biggest questions we get asked is, do I get a tour guide or do I go it alone? And I can say this, that I think it goes with your comfort level. You and I have always gone alone or, you know, decide to explore on our own when we visited Tuscany. But I think the more we talk, the more we hear, that the next time we go, we plan on using a tour guide. Because a tour guide, we've kind of seen what we know. We want to see the main attractions. We've gone to San Gimignano. We've gone to Volterra. We've gone to you've gone to Pisa. We've gone to Florence. We've done Chianti. But there are so many hidden gems within Tuscany that we don't have the knowledge to find.
Mm-mm. No, we don't know to go there. And it would be really nice if we had somebody for a day or two during our trip that could help us find those spots.
And that's why we are going to recommend Anna Mandafri. She is a tour guide who specializes in the hill towns throughout Tuscany. You can find her at cooltours.it, and she joins us this week on the Total Tuscany Podcast. Anna, I got to ask you, how has business been as the tourist season has started?
So let's say the tourist season started this year a little bit late, but it's going very, very well. So we have lots of people coming to Tuscany and lots of people that I met so far. So it seems it's going to be another very, very nice touristy season here in Tuscany.
Cooltours.it is the website. When you look at the tours that you conduct, especially in the Tuscan countryside, when you break it down, is it mostly Americans? Is it Australians? Is it other Europeans? What's the breakout of the people who use your service?
Consider that Cooltours that is operating at least since 2 years, and is specialized, and I'm specialized personally in countryside tours in Tuscany. I deal mostly with Americans. So consider that I can say I have at least 75% of people coming from all over the States, and then all the rest is split. I will split the rest in between Australia, even people from UK, or a few times Europeans, but basically is English-speaking people, of course, and mostly from the States.
And I'm intrigued by the cooking tours portion of your website. Tell me a little bit about what type of cooking tours you offer for these guests.
Yes, right. So consider that now food and wine is really an important aspect of Tuscany, together with beautiful sceneries and beautiful areas, that's for sure. So in the last years, I had lots of requests about, and I developed this as well. My food tours, that's how also I like to call them. Those are daily tours which are focused on local products like cheese production, honey, balsamic vinegar, and of course also some wine, as well as meat, for example. And what I like to do is I like to bring people directly to small farms, because basically I don't go to big producers, but local farms, mostly organic producers, so organic cheese, organic meat, as much as possible. And I give people the chance to learn about how high quality food is made. And when I say high quality, I also mean simple food and traditional food are made and is made. And of course, I give people the chance to match the locals and taste it in their products.
How did you end up in Tuscany? Because you're Sicilian. Didn't you grow up in Sicily?
I was born in Calabria, which is basically the last region of Italy in front of Sicily. And I spent most of my time between Calabria and Sicily when I was studying down there. And I did my first studies until my first degree, that I took a degree in languages in the south of Italy. And then basically I ended up in Tuscany because the very, very first time that I came here, I was a young tourist, because I was 14 years old, and our school actually brought us here in Florence first, and then we did Florence, Siena, Pisa, you know, the main highlights of Tuscany. And I was also studying some arts and architecture along as languages, you know, when I was at the high school. And I fell in love with Florence first, and then with all the rest. And I remember that actually, as I was saying, I was 14, and I said, maybe I would love to come up to Tuscany again. Let's see. Then for a while, I forgot this idea. And when I took my first degree as interpreter and translator in English and French, I decided to come up here to Tuscany because I wanted to find some job opportunities related to languages. And then what I did a training and lessons about Tuscany and wine and food and some of the history. I got a certificate, which gave me the chance to work eventually with tourists. And after that, again, I ended up into a winery. So I started to work at a winery in the Chianti Classico area. When I went, I would say from zero to 100% knowledge about wine.
And that's a good knowledge to have.
Right, perfect. I can't ask for more. It has been just a coincidence, because you can tell that I like to talk. And so I have been hired because of my fluency, I will say, you know, in English, French, and German. And the sales manager at the wine company was very, very happy now, because it was like, wow, she likes to talk. She likes to stay with people. And even if I didn't know so much about the wine, but I started to learn. And I spent in that winery 3 years. So 3 years, that's why I say I went from zero to 100% knowledge about the wine. I met lots of locals too, and this was very important for me. So I started to mix more with the locals and working with them and talking to them. And I started to be even more passionate about the area surrounding me, you know, so like the vines, the hilltops, the little villages. And I started to do these travels, these driving services just for myself, not for people, because I have no idea. And I ended up again translating, usually I say, you know, a passion, my passion, into something that I can share with people. So double passion.
So Anna, what does a countryside tour look like? Let's say that some of our listeners are staying in Florence. What would that look like? A day with you?
A day with me means, first of all, that people can relax and they don't have room to think about anything else besides eventually asking me before what they would like to see. But I can suggest, of course, where to go, the best area. So according to the interest. So first of all, I listen to people, and then I started to run a tour finally when we met. So I pick up people directly at the lodging, because I'm a licensed driver and I have all the permits and everything to go in every downtown. So I can pick you up in Florence, in Siena, Vienna, whatever. So inside the city walls, no, because I can do this. And after this pickup, we start leaving the city and going toward our next destination. So in the countryside, usually I say and I suggest a full day, which is minimum 6 hours. And then I would say the best will be 8 hours per day, where we are going to be focused on small top towns, eventually on request, a small archaeological site, and wine tastings, or so visits at the wineries, or visit to a farm, and of course special lunches and good food, good company, and also some of the, I would say, the knowledge that I have. I like to share whatever I know. So I used to say, don't think that you're going to have simply a driver, maybe talking to the phone or doing whatever, but you're going to have a friend and a host. And somebody trying to share as much as possible about the area.
That's interesting and a very good point to make, is that you're going to have a friend. And at the time, we have not used a guided tour or a tour guide since we on our trips. But I can promise you, the next time we go, we're going to take advantage of your service, because there's so much I think that we want to see, but we may not know how to tap into. So if we went to you and said, listen, we've already seen San Gimignano, we've already seen Volterra, we've already seen Castellina and Chianti and Grive. Take us to somewhere unique. And you said that if you listen to what your customers want, you can provide that service.
Correct. And this is also the most important point, is that, as you say, several people already have been here, for example, and they saw the main destinations, like you were mentioning, San Gimignano, Volterra, which are amazing places, beautiful places. Sometimes I would say, from a central location that also easily, easy to reach by public transportation. So I say, when you hire somebody like me, you want to get, I think, the most of your trip, and also I would say the most of your money. Why not? Because you're hiring a professional. So the great thing is that I can also bring you to off the beaten path. Sometimes I will say, even small villages where there are 500 people living there, hanging their clothes, you know, and drying their clothes outside. Something not just, I would say, not just a touristy destination, but a place which is always cute, nice, full of history, but where there are locals living. So you can get in touch with the people, maybe saying, oh, hello, like you're an accidental tourist that day, but they will be happy. They will be even more happy, more happy than other people in the main destinations where there are 1,000 tourists. That, of course, I say again, you have to visit the well-known places, but why not just use a private service like mine to see also off the beaten path again of Tuscany?
Yeah, no, that sounds fantastic, because each time Travis and I visit, it seems like even though we slow down and we spend a lot of time in one place or another, we have this sense, I think, that we're missing something, you know, and your service sounds incredible, that you'd be able to kind of fill in those gaps and tell us about those areas that we're spending time in.
Right. You have a really no waste of time, because as you were saying, think about, it's nice also to go, sometimes I say, on your own if you rent a car, but at the same time you have to consider looking at the GPS, I say listening to the GPS, looking at the maps, see the signs, crossroads, and driving also in our crazy roads. Or, you know, you can, yeah, sometimes it's nice to have time on your own, but again, maybe if you want to relax and to get the best and to at least feel like a local for a day, why not? You know, why not doing this?
You know, it's interesting listening to you, and especially about the places off the beaten path. When we talk to people who contact us on our website and our clients, and they want to know about how long they should stay in Tuscany, and our answer is, how long do you have? Because I know too many people who, you know, they try to do Rome for 2 days, they'll try to do Tuscany for 2 days, they'll try to do Venice, and they try to skip around. Realistically, how long does, we usually go for 2 weeks at a time, and we don't feel that is long enough. How long does it really take to explore and to appreciate Tuscany? Months? Years?
That's a good question, because you say, I can tell you from my experience, being in this business, even with others before, since 6 years, I can tell that if people don't spend so much time in Tuscany, they will come back. Usually it's after 1 year, after 2 years, but I can tell people come back. Every time I met somebody in my tours, I see that they enjoy the day. And then when I drop them off back to their lodging, they're like a little bit. And I say, don't worry, I'm pretty sure that you will be back. And trust me, sometimes I say, it's even after 6 months, people come back. So I say, if you want to see, you know, Italy in general, as you were saying, I know that you are coming here for 2 weeks. And you know, for example, in general, I would say also Americans don't have so many days, you know, for, so maybe the longest time is 2 weeks. And I say, think about if you want to see the highlights, Rome, Venice, Florence, think about in Tuscany, I would say 4-5 days. I know that I'm asking maybe a lot if it's the first time that people are coming here, but I would say please at least 4-5 days, full days, so you can see some of the cities, but again, you can take some time to see what is really around the main spots and on the main cities.
Now I'm going to put you on the spot. What are your, say we have 3 or 5 or 4 to 5 days, like you said, what are your three favorite places in the countryside to take people?
Yes, sure. I will say, of course, it's difficult for me to choose, but if I have to choose those three important spots, I mean, the countryside, I will say they won Val d'Orcia, so the deep south corner of Siena, where we have these soft rolling hills with wheat, some, of course, when they're in season, no? But it's beautiful, beautiful colors, beautiful with some jewels like Pienza, Montepulciano, San Quirico d'Orcia. So this is an area that I would suggest, and also for people who like food, best experience cheese tasting, as almost lots of people know, or maybe we can let everybody know more about Pienza, and the area is very well known, and the Val d'Orcia in general is very well known for cheese production, so pecorino cheese, but also Montepulciano is well known for wine, so Nobile di Montepulciano. So why not? Again, wine and food together with amazing views and hilltop towns, first one. Second on my list, if I have to say second, because for me it's not really a second choice, but let's say second on my list is the Chianti, so the Chianti area, which is always well known for the wine. But I say, don't think about wine only, because really it's an amazing area where there are little jewels. Again, it's small villages too, where there are 20 people living, and again enjoying people coming, and we can even enjoy the architecture of the countryside in a very simple way, not in a heavy way, you know, but simple, and we can learn a lot even from these small villages. And then again, also eventually the chance to taste wine, Cinta Senese, wild boar, again the typical products of the area. Third one on my list, I will say the Val di Merse, which is really still off the beaten path. It's a little bit, it seems to be, you know, a little bit far, especially from Florence. Actually, it's 1 hour driving. It's not that bad. And I like down there the first example of a Gothic style in the Church of San Galgano, and the sword in the rock and the legend around it. It's a nice place to visit. And some other jewels, like, for example, Colle Valdelsa, very well known for fine glass, what we say in Italian, cristallo, where we can have the chance also to visit, you know, some people blowing the glass, I mean the fine glass, and doing the etching. So another interesting area, really off the beaten path still.
So Anna, do you find, I presume that most of your customers, they tell you what they would like to see, the highlights, but do you find that your customers come and say, surprise us, take us for a day, take us for 2 days, and you plan the whole thing?
It happens a lot, and I'm happy too, because this means that people trust me, especially after looking at my website or also word to mouth. It happens several times that people just say, okay, I want to hire you, drive us around, and after talking, because I always ask which are your interests and, you know, what you expect. And then I can learn again. I can start learning about people that I'm going to meet. And I say, okay, maybe this is the tour that you might like. This is the day that you might like. And so far, I was not wrong. I mean, it happened several times that we have nothing in our schedules, and everything was perfect. And people really enjoy even having tears of joy, I will say. So yes, it happens. Yeah, the people say what you want. You are the local, you are the expert.
I think you've already answered the question I'm going to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So you cover the entire countryside of Tuscany, right? So you'll go to Cortona, you'll go down to Montepulciano, you'll go to all the areas. So you cover the whole province.
Sure. You have to consider that the area and the countryside is very big, you know, here, because even, for example, when we say Chianti, it's both partly in the province of Florence, partly in the province of Siena. So I cover, as a driver, that's for sure, and driving services, I cover entire Tuscany. Sometimes people also ask for the coast. It's not very common, but they do ask, like the Maremma area. And surely, yes, I can do this as well. So it's Tuscany and all over, I would say, all over Tuscany.
And what's the largest size group that you can take at one time, Anna?
For daily tours and in general, what I recommend, my van is for 8 people. So 8 people plus me. So it's a van for 9, you know, but 8 people. This is the largest. Sometimes there are also people that they come already with a bus, because they rent the bus and they ask me to escort, I mean, to lead them around. And this is another possibility, being also tour leader in the national territory. So this happens. Also,
for those who have never been to Tuscany, just to let you know, if Anna has a van that seats 8, that's a rather large car in the Tuscan countryside. That's a big car by Italy standards.
It is. It's very big. I would say you're right, especially when people see me driving in the little streets of Siena or Florence. I think that's also the funniest part sometimes, because I used to tease myself when I say, look, I'm driving like a PlayStation game. And here the most important thing is you have to be very careful. You have to be careful, right? Sometimes I would say, yes, for Italian standards, a Mercedes minivan, it's huge. And it's also fun to me because now I say, you know, it's a little bit more common. But when I started in this business, again, like 6 years ago, I was one of the first young girl doing this job here. So, you know, the reputation of women driver usually is not good. But I'm good.
Have you ever been in an accident?
Oh, no. Thank God. No, never. So that's why I say, so far, so good. Finger crossed, 60 years. And especially if you see that the last time, like last May, I drove people down to Sorrento and to the Amalfi Coast, which is very well known for the tiny streets looking down to the cliffs. That was an amazing test.
You have to be a pretty amazing driver to drive that vehicle in those towns.
Correct. And otherwise, if you don't do a good job, you have to do lots of yoga. No, I'm teasing. That's a joke.
What's the favorite part of your job? Do you like seeing new places or rediscovering places, or do you like meeting the people that you get to give a tour to?
The main thing is meeting people, because I used to consider myself a social animal. I mean, I have to stay with people. I have to talk to people. And so this is the funnest part of my job. Also, because as I say, I meet different people every day. So, of course, I have different questions, different moods, different personalities. So I can't be bored by my clients, never. And the amazing thing for me is that this is never, I would say, a one-way job, because I don't teach people nothing about. I'm just telling and sharing what I know and what I wanted also to learn and to see when I came up here first. I would say like a tourist, and now after 12 years I'm living here, so I think I know what people want to visit, no? And so I can't be bored, and at the same time I was saying it's not one way, because I learn from people. Can you imagine, for, you know, the average Italians, we study a little bit about, for example, the States, but we don't really know so much. So I'm blessed, because every day people from Florida, from California, from Pennsylvania, from Alabama or Georgia, whatever, so I can have a piece of the States in my van and then in my life. So it's always beautiful. It's a sharing job, and it's a sharing process too.
When you go out and you take people, and Pat had mentioned food earlier, what are some of your favorite restaurants? When we go to, we have a particular favorite one in San Gimignano that we go to. What's Nicolai's place called? You know what
La Travottia.
And then when we go to Panzano,
that would be Dario
Dario Cecchini's place. So what do
yeah,
you,
right.
When people want to go out to eat, what's a restaurant that you recommend people go eat at?
But let's say, if I don't have to, just to tell one name, in terms of example, my best places. I mean, my favorite places actually are the local trattoria or osteria, no? I say, especially in the countryside, I say you don't really need to go to fancy places because you have the chance to find fancy things everywhere, no? Even in the cities, again. And I say in the countryside, the clue is to find where the locals go. And it can be a small trattoria, let's say now coming to my mind, like Osteria or Trattoria al Ponte, which is in Gaiola in Chianti, no? For example, it's a tiny place where you're surrounded by the locals, a little bit of tourists, but just few. And you have amazing traditional food and homemade pasta. And I say, why not? So this is one that I like, no? Or Il Giardino in Pienza, for example, where they make, I would say, the best peachy ever, no? The peachy pasta, the thick noodles, the thick spaghetti that we have in the province of Siena. And that's another place, no? Along with eventually organic producers and organic farms that I know. And that's another part that I really suggest. And I say, take your time when you do a tour, slow down, enjoy. But I say, slow traveling and even slow food in the sense of enjoying what you're eating and slow drinking as well. So food and wine slowly, peacefully in the beautiful countryside.
You have a certificate of excellence from TripAdvisor for 2014. Cooltours.it is the website. Anna, you've been absolutely fascinating. We cannot wait to get to Tuscany and have you give us a tour.
Yes, I can't really wait to have you here. So I would love to. So please let me know. And I hope it's going to be very soon. And I will be happy to bring you around. Of course, thank you for your time. Thank you for making this interview and giving me the chance to talk to you and possibly to several people. And hopefully everybody will know about cultours.it and Anna's Tuscany tour.
Thank you, Anna. We appreciate it. Pat, I think one of the most interesting things, and I was pleased to hear Anna say, was that she doesn't go into a tour with a preset agenda. She listens to what the tourist or her clients or the people want to see and then customizes her tours off of that. And I think it's very important when you sit down and select a tour guide that they have your interest in mind, not their own personal set agenda in mind.
Yeah, you can tell she has a real desire to get to know her clients and to speak with them and to find out what they like and then to get them off the beaten path, as she said a few times. And that's something that's really intriguing to me. I would love to hire Anna and say, surprise us for the day. Take us places we've never been.
And we'll say, we've been here, here, and here. We want to see something completely different. And if you tell Anna that when you hire her by going to cooltours.it, she'll be able to customize the exact tour that you want. So, and that's important because a trip like this is an investment. It's worth the investment. And why not take your investment and make it worth even more? And I think, you know, Anna can provide that extra value that will make your trip to Tuscany that much more enjoyable and, of course, entertaining and informative. And what I like about Anna, she's got what we call here in the States, she's got some spunk. She's funny.
Absolutely.
Make sure to follow Total Tuscany on Twitter, at Total Tuscany, like our Facebook page, Total Tuscany, and subscribe to this podcast by going to iTunes or Stitcher. For Pat Campagna, I'm Travis Justice. Thanks for listening this week. We'll talk to you next week on another Total Tuscany podcast.